Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about when we ask for prayer, we need to make sure the people we ask to pray are righteous people. Let's continue with that subject today.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Righteousness relates to actions being carried out. Holiness refers to the heart and as we develop on the inside. And so, that relates as it affects our actions. Righteous men will pray regularly. Righteous men will read the Bible regularly. Righteous men will witness regularly. Righteous men will go to church regularly. Righteous men will invite others to church regularly. The righteous man will conduct his business and his affairs honestly. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. We are righteous when we live according to the word of God, and as a result, God hears prayer. When he does this, it availeth much. That is, it produces many results. If we are unwilling to meet the conditions, the calling of the elders is a wasted effort and time. Back there in verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Well, if the elders aren't righteous and they don't meet these conditions, then it is wasted time and effort. That is why if you call for someone to pray, make sure they are righteous people and not just elders. Now, after seeing prayer power for the sick, let's next see prayer power for the saints in verses 17 and 18. And there we read, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Don't miss that God is illustrating what he told us in verse 15, that the Lord will raise him up. It was not the power of Elijah. It was God who did the work. Elijah is the example of a man who knew God's will, a man who was righteous, and prayed accordingly. Prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth. You'll notice it says he prayed. He prayed earnestly. That is effectual, fervent, continual prayer. And again, this is not vain repetition. Christ prayed 3 times in the garden. Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn to be removed. However, there are Christian people who pray prayers which are just lazily stated religious words that come not from a heart that has been meditating or seeking the will of God. It's not wrong to pray about something more than once, but it is vain repetition even one time when our prayer is mainly just a lazily stated prayer. You may be praying the same way for 5 years, and every day you don't realize it, but you're just praying the same things, and it's almost like those that would use prayer books or rosary beads, and it's not really emanating from your heart or your study of the Word of God and the result effect on your heart. So again, learn to pray according to the will of God and pray in power. Now he says Elijah was a man of like passions. He feared for an example, before Jezebel, he got afraid of her, even though he'd called fire down from heaven and had done many wonderful works. He got lonely. He got depressed. He lost trust in the promises of God at one point. Yes, Elijah had faults. He is distinguished from us in that he prayed earnestly and is righteous. We cannot rest in past victories. The battle's not over until we're taken home, my friend, so it behooves us to ever strive to live righteously. Do you realize that you'll come to life's end, and then your body may be afflicted? And you'll have a fight that even at the end is going to call for total faith and reliance upon the Lord, even in the midst of a great struggle. And you find that faith must be active and alive, even to our dying breath. Notice the adverb back up in verse 16, the word much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, that is ambiguous in and of itself. How much is the question? Well, verse 17 gave the answer. He prayed earnestly, and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. That is how much, and that is effectual in my book, and especially in God's book. Now, we move on to verses 19 and 20 because we've looked at prayer power for the sick and prayer power for the saints. But now we see prayer power for saving. Listen as I read verses 19 and 20 here of chapter 5. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, the context here is not for winning the lost to Christ. Now, it can, however, be applied secondarily, since this is God's will. But first, it is here referring to saving saints from physical maladies, even death. 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that you should pray for it. Now, there is sin in a Christian's life that can lead to physical death. And so he says, if any of you do err, the word err means to wander from the truth. So he's saying we should pray for them and approach them. This idea that they err, they wander from the truth, it may be a gradual moving away from the will of God. Perhaps we call it backsliding. Not too noticeable, but one day you wake up and you realize, hey, I used to be faithful to church. I witnessed. I invited folks to church. I lived a righteous life. And now everything is hit and miss. I don't have devotions. I miss church services. And things go on like that. And you realize you've backslidden. Now notice he said there, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way. And in verse 19, he said, one convert him. The word convert means to turn toward. In context, it is to turn toward God and holiness, according to the Greek lexicon. In Acts chapter 3:19, we have, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Repent. Turn from yourself. Turn from your sin and turn from depending on yourself. And be converted, turn toward God, give your life to Him. The idea is not just merely altering your opinion. It is leading us to amend and or correct our ways. Now, my friend, that is conversion. Let us not forget that the world, the flesh, and the devil is at war with us, my friend. They are ever trying to make you and me err in doctrine, or in practice? As the context of this entire book of James is showing us, especially James chapter 4. These verses here, 19 and 20, are actually a summation of all this book. Things that he has written about. And now it's saying, hey, rescue people from these things. It's important then that we remain righteous. And we do that which is righteous and well-pleasing to our precious Lord. You see, the local church needs to have a ministry to sinning saints. The idea behind any church discipline is not to get them under punishment or some other malady. Rather, it is to bring them to repentance and righteousness. You see, a bad attitude is evil, and we know that, but so is a church that fails to discipline those that need to be disciplined. Now, we're to discipline in love. We need to exercise tenderness and righteousness. The truth is, we need compassion, not to gossip, and rather to seek to bring them back through prayer and the pleading with the Word of God. Now, do you remember the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2? The church at Ephesus are commended for their work and for their separation from the world. Boy, I tell you, they won't take in those that call themselves apostles. They've tried them to see if they are, and they're not. And boy, if people are living in sin, they've nailed it. And God commends that. He commends their work, and he speaks highly of it. What he condemns in Revelation 2 of the church of Ephesus is that they left their first love. Now, here's a person that I think that we have an excellent illustration of this, is a person that is in sin, maybe in adultery. And people in the church says, we need to get them under church discipline. And boy, we need to really get them told. Let's pray that God will just hurt that guy. Let's pray that God will do something to that person physically, that they have sinned this sin. And they handle church discipline. They do what they're supposed to do. But they don't really do it with the spirit of love. And when the person is repentant, they're not really trusting. They're not really willing to forgive. In other words, the attitude is they want to get them told. And they want to get them punished. But the real heart's desire is not repentance and righteousness. That is leaving the love. That is not losing it. It's leaving it. So again, yes, we need to exercise tenderness and righteousness, but we also need to do it in love. The truth in love is the answer. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and above all things. Now, isn't that interesting? He says, more importantly than anything else, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Now, it's interesting that in 1 Peter 4:8, the word fervent has the idea of intent without ceasing. It is stretching out its effort, unceasing effort. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible. sense.